were going overseas. Great wooden crates appeared.
Good God,
said Edgington.
They're sending us by parcel post,
said Edgington. All our missing clothes was replaced. We then ran straight down to the town and sold them. One issue was large, vacuum-sealed tin of emergency chocolate, only to be eaten in the event of being surrounded by the enemy. That night, in bed, surrounded by the enemy, we ate the emergency chocolate. The news was broken by Major Chetajack in the Naffy hut. We were marched in and sat down.
Eyes! Hut!
He wants our eyes in the front.
Stop that shouting at the back!
You may have been hearing rumors that we are going abroad. We are finally going overseas. It's what we all been trained for, so it shouldn't come as a shock.
Where are we going, sir?
Well, I know it's not Glasgow. Embarkation leave will start almost immediately. Married men first. They need it.
Don't we all?
Good luck to you all, especially me.
Dears me!
January the 6th, the 1943. The midnight, weather, the pissing down. Standing in the black street, the hammer of the Germans' D battery stands silent in full FSMO, with arms aching from typhus, typhoid and tetanus injections. Edgington and I have been detailed to carry a porridge container.
Quick! Back! Everybody remember turn gas off!
Stop that door there!
Fire! Nice name, Vicar!
The rain, it seemed to penetrate everything. We reached the station like khaki sponges. My porridge carrying arm was 6 inches longer. Down the stairs we trooped to the platform, where the train was standing in the station, so we all refrained from passing. As it pulled fretfully from the station, I suddenly realized, my God, some of us are being driven to our deaths. Edgington and I, in the corridor, decided to look for somewhere to settle. The car's van. It was empty save for the officers' bedrolls. Just the job. Removing our webbing, we lay like young khaki gods rampant on a field of kit bags. The young gods then lit up a couple of dog ends. We passed the time with our song puns game. What is the song of the obstetrician?
I don't know.
I'm always on the outside looking in. Funny.
What is the song of the barren female fish?
What?
No rose in all the world.
What is the song of the man who lost his old cigarette lighter and then found it?
What?
My old flame.
What did we Sieve sing when she covered her fanny with the fig leaf?
What did Sir Sieve sing?
No, Eve. What did Eve sing?
I got it.
Yeah.
I covered her water in front.
Very good, Spine. 1 point to you.
Is you to paint?
Right, one blunt to you then.
You should have been on the stage. Well, Spargo. It was going on 3 o'clock. We fell asleep with the iron calypso of the wheels and the raindrop typewriter on the windows. I was awakened about 7 by Harry handing me a mug of tea.
I'm awakening you about 7 by handing you a cup of tea.
I looked out the window.
You are looking out the window.
We were passing through black countryside. What was I passing in? That was sprinkled with snow. Well, yes, we must be going north, south, east or west. Bombardier True sauntered in. He had a large set of badly protruding teeth. All smashed, misspelt Wonderbar in Gothic. But for this, it would have been ugly. He saw the luxury we were living in.
You cunning bastards. You know what I slept last night? Sitting up in a bleeding cozy. I'm covered with it, you know.
Get away.
Here. I think we're going to Scotland.
Why Scotland?
I'll tell you, we're going to make landings in Norway. It's your second front, mate. We're going to link up with the Russians.
Oh, Christ, Norway, that's done it.
Why?
I told my family it was Malta.
What about my family? I told them Lewisham.
The January 7th at the 2:45 of that afternoon, we're arriving at the Lime Street Station, Liverpool. The chaos. Non-commissioned officers kept running into each other, shouting orders. Captains bounded up and down the platform like spring-heeled jacks, shouting,
"Attack!"
Which they did. It was dark when we arrived at the docks, which bore scars of very heavy bombing. Toward the New Brighton side of the Mersey, searchlights were dividing the sky. Our ship was HMTL-15, in better days, the SS Otranto. She'd been converted to an armed troop ship with AA platforms fore and aft. We boarded three decks down to H deck. It was just above the waterline. The portholes were all sealed and blacked out. Such a pity, I wanted to see the fishes. At about 1 o'clock, the ship took on the air of departure. We were away. Slowly we glided downstream. To the east, we could hear the distant cough of Ak-Ak. The time was 1:10 a.m., January the 8th, 1943. We were a mile downstream, and the first bomb started to fall on the city. The whole of Liverpool was on fire. Apparently, the total damage done was £3. Away we went, farther and farther into the night. Finally, drizzle and darkness sent us below. That. In the dark, I smoked a cigarette. What else could you do with it? And I thought, we're going into war. Would I survive? Would I be frightened? Could I survive a direct hit at point-blank range by a German 88mm? Could I really push a bayonet into a man's body, twist it, pull it out and say, sorry? I mean, what would a neighbour say? The third day out, the Otranto started to do a figure-of-eight roll. Seasickness started. We were on the fringe of the Bay of Biscay. On the night of January the 13th, already in heavy seas, we hit a force 9 gale with the VAT 10. Crash! The seas became mountainous. On captain's orders, we all slept in life jackets. It was bloody uncomfortable. You realised what a woman felt like with a 42-inch bosom sleeping face downwards on her back. Next day, men seasick everywhere. Some managed to get to the toilets, but as the days passed, they weakened and they were sick where they stood. Men covered in green were walking everywhere. I was all right, but I kept having to leap clear. My turn to collect breakfast. There was food for 12, but only two takers, Edgington and I. We enjoyed liberal portions of sausage, bacon, bread and butter, tea, jam, and then started all over again, all to the sounds of great agonized, retching groans into buckets. Feeling fine, we tried to bring joy to our less fortunate comrades by saying, cold, greasy tripe and more eggs. We had to leap clear very quickly. The storm never let up, neither we. It was only this that prevented U-boats attacks, also Y, X, and Z boat attacks, though I know many a seasick covered wreck who would rather have had calm seas and been torpedoed. A poor green-faced thing asked me,
is there any cure for seasickness?
Yes, I said, sit under a tree. He tried to kill me. Cheer up, I said. Think of the Warsaw Concerto.
Oh, yes.
He missed. On the night of the 14th, we passed to the Straits of Gibraltar. We passed quite a few things into the Straits of Gibraltar, actually. Into the Med, and of course the gale was gone. All was calm. The Med, this threw the speculation book wide open. How else can you read it? Bomber Rossi was taking bets. Malta 64, India 21, Libya 64 on, Algiers 110 on, Bournemouth 101, Arsenal 1, Tottenham lost. Clear sky, no wind, calm sea, dive bomb.
Action station! Action station!
Boom, the tannoy. Or was it the captain? Gun crews were all caught with their pants down. There was some kind of medical inspection on at the time. Chittitax Batman awakened him.
Sir, an Oi-Toi plane is bombing us.
Don't worry, he's allowed to. Did you get his number?
The plane was an old Caproni. We let fly a few rounds at him. It didn't seem fair about shooting your own grandmother, which of course I had done. After this attack, gun crews became trigger-happy. The sight of a seagull was a signal for a tremendous barrage. It had to be stopped. The ship's captain took all his clothes off and addressed us over the tannoy.
Gentlemen, all seagulls in the area are unarmed. Can we please refrain from shooting at them? Thank you.
The end of the voyage was nigh, as you can hear. We wanted to get ashore before the equipment was out of date and the war was still on. Over the tannoy came.
Good morning, Colonel Meadows. I could now tell you our destination. Yes, we are going to land the Algiers as reinforcements for the First Army.
Here, Algiers. Wasn't that where Charles Boyer once had it all fitted in a mile in a Casbah?
Yeah, mind you, that guy out by the going be good.
A bombardier came round and distributed a little booklet saying customs habits and friendly diseases of French North Africa. How to behave. The currency, addresses of post-brothel military clinics, and a contraceptive. Only one? They must be expecting a short while. Harry Edgington was horrified.
Look at this,
he said, his lovely face dark with rage.
Putting temptation into a man's hands.
Put them on your hands, sir. Whereupon he hurled it overboard. Others blew them up and paddled them ashore, shouting, Happy New Year! Down came the gangplanks, and the 56th Heavy Regiment, 10 days at sea, debouched.
Lieutenant Walker marched us 26 miles to our destination.
Yeah, but on a map, sir, it only says 3.
Oh, yes, sir, that does.
We were billeted at a place called X Camp.
That means that no soldier under the age of 14 is allowed in without an adult sergeant.
The colonel told us, the camp is meant to hold German prisoners.
Yeah, but we haven't got any, sir.
Well, no, we'll have to advertise.
Our first casualty was in the latrine. The attendant orderly was Gunner Little, who complained.
They laugh at me. To them, this job is just shit. But to me, it's bread and butter.
Unfortunately, the lime powder used to sprinkle the pit, repeat, pit, had run out. With a job like that, I'd run out too. So Little improvised with a mixture of petrol and diesel.
Darn! Enter the RSM for a good pom. He squats on the pole. He fills his pipe. He strikes a match.
Medical report. Secondary burns on the bum.
Ah, that's a sort of English loss of face, ain't it? Yeah, I've got files.
It was going to be a long, hard war. Still, there was always...